Good evening, and you may open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. It's the passage on the card, and we will begin at verse 7 and read from there to the end. We have some summary thoughts here that are expressed, that all of the law is summed up in love to our neighbor, and I believe in the last part of the passage, the focus is on our love to our Lord. So those are the guiding principles as we read through this passage. Romans 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's kneel for prayer.
I would like to add my words of welcome along with the words expressed by Brother Ken as we approach Youth Night this evening. I too appreciate the youth who are here, those who are up front, and those who are scattered throughout the audience. We trust tonight as the message goes forth that it will be a benefit not only to the youth but for all of us. God, I believe the subject which we'd like to speak tonight, the subject of honor, is one which is appropriate for every age of life. If you followed along with the reading from Brother Paul, Romans 13:7 says, render therefore to all their dues, and it says, honor to whom honor. Tonight we'd like to speak on that subject of honor to whom honor is due. The honor which we want to speak about tonight is the honor which one man is required by the scripture to give to another. We all recognize that God is worthy to be glorified and honored and praised, and the scripture also says much about that. But tonight we want to specifically speak about, and which is what I believe Paul is speaking of here as Romans, is rendering honor on a horizontal level. Honor to other human beings who deserve that honor. And there's quite a bit in scripture tonight concerning honor on the horizontal level. Honor from man to man. So we want to move rather quickly. But tonight, as we think about the honor and the importance of honor, I guess the best way and the best illustration which comes to my mind is that honor is like grease. I think most of us know what grease or oil does. It keeps things running smoothly. They understand when our country was founded, you know, they went west many times with Conestoga wagons, and I'm told, I made to understand that someone had the job of continually applying grease to those axles. As he went mile after mile, those axles would become hot, and someone had to continually apply grease to those axles. I have what I am told is a Conestoga wagon axle grease bucket. And so honor is like oil grease in a relationship. Some of us who work with equipment or machinery, maybe a more modern illustration is that we have to get out the grease gun once in a while if we don't want problems. And if we let the bearings go too long without grease, then there's problems. And they start squealing and other problems. And that's the way it is in our human relationships. If we do not honor those whom God tells us to honor, it makes friction in the relationships. It brings difficulty in relationships. We will have problems in our relationships. And I believe tonight this is appropriate for young people, because I'm going to suggest tonight to all the young people here that if you, by the grace of God, can apply the principles which we want to speak about tonight, I believe that you will have less heartaches in life as far as relationships goes. You will get along with people at all levels throughout your entire life if you are able to do as the Bible says, render therefore honor to whom honor is due. First question tonight, what is biblical honor? It basically means attaching high value or worth to someone or something. The Old Testament, there's a number of words used to translate honor in the Old Testament: beauty, majesty, preciousness, weight, or heaviness. In the New Testament, beauty and glory. Particularly note that word weight, attaching weight or value to something. That is what we do when we honor someone. But there has these others, which I've already mentioned, there are other aspects of honor. It's a word which has a variety of aspects. Next, first, the second question we like to say, answer, we answered what is biblical honor, gave some words for that. Who or what is worthy of biblical honor? Who or what is worthy of biblical honor? There's quite a few which are mentioned in the scripture. First of all, and we'll put this first, this is one of the primary ones, father and mother. We all know the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. The scripture is, that commandment is repeated quite a few times in Malachi chapter 1, in verse 6. It says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? God was saying, a father, an earthly father, deserves honor. Why am not I getting honor as the heavenly father? So first of all, we see a father and mother is worthy of honor. We also see there, and that's the very same verse, Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, it says a son honors his father, but it also says a servant honors his master. And so we see an employer, those who are over us in the employment world, deserves honor as well. We can see that also in some other places in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. In verse, it's not the scripture I wanted. I think it's Ephesians 6, 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. And so the employer is worthy of honor, those who are over us in the workplace. Also, we see, according to the scripture, a wife is especially worthy of honor. The scripture says in 1 Peter 3, 7, it talks about a wife being a vessel. I'll turn to that and read that. It says, giving honor unto the wife as being the weaker vessel, as heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Giving honor unto the wife as a weaker vessel. So the wife is worthy to be honored. I'd like to point out three aspects tonight of why a wife, or why a wife is worthy to be honored. First of all, a wife is a gift of God. All of God's gifts are worthy of honor, but a wife in a peculiar way is a gift of God and is worthy of being honored. The scripture says in Proverbs, it says about whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. That word favor carries with it the idea of honor. So I want to challenge all of you here tonight who are married, and those young people who are anticipating marriage at some point in the future, you need to recognize that your spouse, and I think it could be spouse, either husband or wife, needs to be looked upon as a gift of God. I think that is very important and very vital for a good relationship. A wife deserves honor because she is a gift of God. She deserves honor because we need to recognize that there are differences in the relationship. And that again comes from 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. It says, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. And there's other places in scripture where we know our wives are different than us. And we need to honor and recognize their various gifts, the different gifts which God has given them, and also their weaknesses. And when we honor a weakness, then we endeavor to provide the strength to meet that weakness. So a wife is honored because she is a gift of God. We honor her by recognizing differences in gifts. And we also honor her by being a sharer of her spiritual life. And this too is very vital. And it comes out of that same verse in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We honor those whom we pray with. And that is particularly true in the case of in a husband and wife relationship. And so a wife, according to the scripture, is a gift of God. Not only is the wife a gift of God, but also closely related to this thought is that the institution of marriage deserves to be honored. The institution of marriage deserves to be honored. And certainly that needs to be taught and preached today. The institution of marriage, as the Bible understands it, is of one man and one woman. And let's not go where the world and where society is going today. We all know where they're going. We all know that is unbiblical. But the institution of marriage, as ordained by Almighty God, of one man and one woman is honorable. The scripture says marriage is honorable in all. And also, the second part of that verse in Hebrews 13:4 says, and the bed undefiled, the sexual relationship within a heterosexual marriage is also honorable. Those two things go together, according to Hebrews 13:4, and both are honorable, both the marriage, institution of marriage, and the sexual relationship within that marriage is honorable. What else does the New Testament tell us is honorable? It tells us that our human bodies, that is the bodies in which we exist, God has given all of us a body. That also is honorable. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, turn to read a few verses to support this thought. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And this goes along with the point which we just made, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Our vessels are our human bodies. And this not only includes purity in our sexual relationships, but there's many, many other ways which I believe we need to honor our bodies and honor and to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. Let's not be tempted to go to these tattoo places. It seems like tattoos, I guess it's the fad. I don't know what it is. We're just seeing more tattooing done, I think, than I've ever seen in my life on both male and female. That is dishonoring to the human body. We can mention other things, the alcohol and the drugs and all the other various forms of promiscuity. All of these things are dishonoring to the human body. God says that our human bodies are worthy of honor and respect because they are, as believers, temples of the Holy Spirit. And what was more honorable than the temple, if you look back into the days of Israel, what was more honorable than the temple? But the New Testament uses that same word, Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God's house is honorable. So our bodies as being the temples of the Holy Spirit needs to be held in honor. Not only is the human body worthy of honor, but as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see that the individual parts of the body of Christ are honorable. Now here we're not talking about speaking of the human body, but we're speaking about the body of Christ. The church as it's assembled here, or as the church as it's assembled in other places. In 1 Corinthians 12, I want to read a few verses here, I believe, beginning to verse 20. He's talking about the different members being all parts of one body. But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You heard the word honor quite a few times in those verses of Scripture. And what the Apostle Paul is telling us is tonight is that as members of the body of Christ, and he goes on there and he talks about the different gifts, and we have different positions, and we serve in different ways within the body of Christ. Paul is saying that all these positions are worthy of honor. And he's saying, and he's comparing to the human body, but he's saying in the body of Christ, regardless of what we are doing, our position, and he goes on and talks about some of the gifts and things, but he is saying they are all honorable. So it doesn't matter tonight what part you may play in the church or in the body of Christ, Paul is saying there it is honorable to serve in the body of Christ. And the individual parts, one is just as honorable as the other. The individual parts and the individual gifts bestowed in the body of Christ are all honorable. What else is worthy of biblical honor? Scripture says that elders, that is those who are older in age, or older people, are worthy of honor. In Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 12, it says the faces of the elders were not honored. That was speaking, the book of Lamentations, it's speaking about when Israel was being carried into captivity in the Assyrian and the Babylonian captivity, and they disrespected the older people. And that, of course, was wrong. Over in the New Testament, we're also told that we need to honor the older people. Speaks about honoring our elders. I believe it's in Peter. We recognize that we need to honor those who are older among us. Also, what else? Widows. The Scripture says in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 5:3, it speaks of honoring widows, I believe, it's that are widows indeed. I'll turn to it here so I get it right. 1 Timothy 5:3, honor widows that are widows indeed. And then a parallel scripture to that is James 1:27. It says about pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. And so we honor widows and widowers, either one, by having their needs met. The church in the New Testament was encouraged to meet the needs of the widows. We honor them by having their needs met. And then James tells us we honor them with visits. We pay attention to them. Also in the New Testament, we see that church leadership is worthy to receive honor. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. God has ordained leadership within the church. The church leadership needs to be honored. And I would suggest tonight that one of the greatest ways you can honor your church leadership is to be obedient to the Scripture. John said, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. And I think tonight here, any of the brethren who are in church leadership tonight would testify to that. There's no greater joy. You can place no greater honor upon your leaders of your congregation than to walk in truth and obedience to Scripture. And I think I could just I can reverse that and say there's probably no greater pain to a leader or an elder of the church than to be disobedient to the Scripture and to be disobedient to the church. So tonight I would suggest that young people, if you desire to honor church leadership, the greatest thing you can do is to be obedient to what the Scripture teaches and your understanding of the Scripture. We already mentioned employers, the fact that we need to honor employers, so we move on. Another aspect of who or what is worthy of biblical honor. In 1 Peter chapter 2, here Peter is summing up, has quite a bit to say about honor. In 1 Peter chapter 2, He says, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may be put to silence the ignorance of fooling men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of munitions, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Here we have a summary, but first of all, we see that we are to honor those who are in governmental leadership. He says here, honor the king. And we can take that, you know, those who God has placed upon us to keep rule above us, to keep rule and law and order. We need that. And I admit that there's many, many things. We all know there are many, many things which are not pleasing, even the United States today. But still, we are called to honor those who are in leadership of our government. All these scriptures were written, most of them, all of them, I suppose, when Rome was governed. Rome had the authority, and we had some very, very evil rulers. But we do not read in the scripture that we honor some, and we choose the ones we want to honor, and we don't honor the ones we don't like. We are called to honor those who are in political and authority above us. And then he simply says here, to sum up this portion, he says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. And then he says, honor the king. And so I would challenge the young people tonight, consider these various individuals whom we are supposed to honor. And as you are able to honor them, as you throughout your life, it will be like grease, greasing the relationships, oiling the gears. It will make things work smoothly. Now we've seen who or what is worthy of biblical honor. We want to move on to some of the principles of biblical honor. What are some of the principles of biblical honor? First of all, we need to understand that biblical honor is not performance-based. It is not performance-based. As we look at these various individuals and situations which we've already spoke about, we don't decide that if that person who I'm supposed to honor is not doing what I think, or he's not doing things the way I think he should, that I don't have to honor him. You can't say, well, if I don't agree with my parents, then I don't have to honor him. If I don't like what the boss is doing, then I don't have to honor him. It is not performance-based. The requirement is above any kind of performance based on the person deserving of honor. And you know, the greatest example of that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest honor which could have been bestowed upon us by the Lord Jesus Christ is when he died for us. But I am so thankful tonight that it was not my performance, that he died in spite of my performance. When I was a sinner, his love for us transcended any of our performance, because we're all sinners. And I think that is the basic principle which we need to understand. Honor is not performance-based. The second thing which we need to see, second principle of biblical honor, is that it makes relationships important. All these situations which we spoke about, it's the relationship. It's always the relationship between us and these various individuals whom we spoke about. It makes relationships very important. We need to treasure relationships, and as we honor and value people, and as we give them the honor which God tells us to give them, we will make the relationship, give the relationship the priority. You know, one time, a rich young ruler came to Jesus. I believe it was a rich young ruler. And he said, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And what did Jesus say? He got out of that pretty quick. He said, who made me a ruler or divider over you? In other words, Jesus was saying, you're trying to get me into something which is not a priority. I didn't come to divide inheritances. That is something which would fracture relationships. Jesus would not address that situation. Jesus realized that the relationships were what was the very, very important part of all of our experiences of life. So biblical honor makes relationship important. It makes relationships the most important thing. And when we honor people, we are putting great value on that relationship. The next thing we see, the third principle of biblical honor, is that it places the other person above ourselves. In all these situations which we spoke, it recognizes that the other person is above us. Romans 12:3, chapter prior to what was read, it says, "For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The opposite of honor is pride. If we are pride and we are full of are prideful, it's unlikely that we will be honoring people as we should. And so the principle of biblical honor is that it places other people above ourselves. Proverbs 29:23. Scripture I want to turn back to and read. Proverbs 29:23. "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." In other words, a man who is humble, honor will uphold him. Honor will give him the grace to provide or to render the honor which is due. So pride is the opposite of honor, and pride works against honor. Now next, we'd like to look. We've seen who or what is worthy of biblical honor and some principles of biblical honor. We want to look tonight, as we finish up, how is biblical honor expressed? What are some of the ways in which we can express biblical honor? Well, the first one I'd like to suggest tonight is by giving sufficient time to those who we desire to honor. By giving sufficient time. It's interesting that the word for Greek honor is T-I-M-E. Now, it has no relationship to time, but I just thought that was interesting. The Greek transliteration is T-I-M-E, one of the words. It's not, but the point is right what I want to make. Biblical honor is expressed by giving people time. You know, we have an expression, and someone says, sometimes we say, "Well, so-and-so didn't give me the time of day." That basically is saying they dishonored me. They did not honor me. We need to give people sufficient time. Someone has said the greatest sacrifice is the sacrifice of time. And young people, whether if it's your parents or whoever it might be, whatever relationships are in life, give people the time that they deserve. Give people their due by giving them sufficient time. Pay attention to them and direct our attention to them by giving time. We spoke about visiting fathers, the fathers and the widows. You know, there's many, many people in nursing home who have children who never honor them with a visit. In other words, they don't give them time. We all recognize that we are all busy, but we still, there are people who deserve our time, and we can honor them by giving them time. So one of the best ways to express biblical honor is by giving those who deserve honor sufficient time. The second way I'd like to propose tonight where we can express honor is by clear communication. Clear communication. It takes thought, it takes effort to formulate our thoughts in our mind and to speak them. And I like to challenge young people to learn to formulate thoughts, learn to speak them clearly, and not only clearly speak your thoughts, but also learn to listen. That is giving a people honor. That is honoring people when we listen to what they have to say. Let's try not to formulate our answer, what we're going to say, before they're finished speaking. Hear people out. We honor people when we listen to what they have to say. And then we need, as I said, we need to practice, you know, by speaking as clearly as we can. And, you know, I think with all the texting and all the abbreviation of words and all that type of thing, which we know is going on today, I'm afraid we're going to lose, with the electronic media and everything, we're going to lose the ability at least to some degree, to clearly formulate and express our thoughts and share them back and forth in a verbal manner. I think that is a high risk in our society today. But let's take the time and the effort to communicate with people, and let's hear them out, and let's speak clearly to them as we share our own thoughts. Another way which we express biblical honor is by faithful service. By faithful service. In Colossians chapter 3, I want to turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, read a few other verses. It says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." It is a form of honor to always do our best in every situation of life, whether it's in school, whether it's on the job, whether it's in the home. We are honoring those whom we are serving when we do our very best. That is what Paul is saying here. He says, obey your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. I checked to see exactly what this word eye service meant. It was interesting that it's a long Greek word, but you could easily see that it has to do with ophthalmology, where we get our word ophthalmology, which has to do with the eye. And the second part of it is our word servant or slave, doulos, I believe is the root word. So we're not doing things just as a slave might do his work to be seen by the master, and it would imply that he does something else when the master's not looking. That's basically what's being said here. We are consistent in doing a good job in every situation, whether our parents are looking, or whether the boss is looking, or whether the teacher's looking, or whoever's looking or not looking, because God is observing. And so if we want to honor individuals whom we are serving, then we need to do it heartily, as it says, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Another way in which we express faithful service is by gifts and tokens or offerings. By giving offerings or giving gifts. Scripture says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So we know, we understand, we honor the Lord with our substance. But we can also honor other people by giving gifts. I think the wise men, when they came to Jerusalem and they offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they were honoring, we all understand, they were honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is an appropriate time, I believe, to give gifts as we honor one another in our various responsibilities of life. The last way, I think, I already mentioned it briefly, but I want to mention it again tonight, is that we the highest honor which we can bestow upon a person, I believe, is to pray for them, and if the opportunity affords itself, with them. We go back to that verse of 1 Peter, there in Peter, speaking of the wife. It says, pray with them as heirs together of the grace of life. We bestow tremendous honor upon our spouses when we take time to pray with them and to seek God's direction with them. That is honor. But that's not only in that relationship. We honor people as we honor the grieving family in the Ukraine tonight. And as we take the prayer requests from Sunday to Sunday, and we hear of many, many needs around in the body of Christ and around the world today, we are honoring those people when we pray for them, as is commanded there in the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, not only the scripture there in Peter, but the scripture in Timothy gives us the same concept. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Few verses here. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There, Scripture is telling us that we need to pray for all men. We need to pray for men to be saved, to that they would come to the knowledge of the truth. I believe that is the very highest honor which we can bestow upon people, to pray with them and for them. And so the challenge I'd like to leave with you tonight is this. Are we honoring those whom we have been called to honor? Are you and I, as Christians, as young people, as older people as well, is there some relationship in my life, someone whom I'm not honoring? And perhaps there's friction in that relationship. And perhaps there's been a breakdown in that relationship. You know, I believe if we would go back and apply these principles, which God has instructed us to do in His Word, I believe a lot of relationships tonight could be healed. There would be blessing. There would be healing. There would be reconciliation take place if we would render and apply these biblical principles. So tonight we're going to close the message. I'd like to encourage the young people. Pray God's richest blessing would be upon all of you as you make decisions for the future and as you endeavor to serve the Lord Jesus Christ wherever He might call you. We will sing a hymn of invitation tonight, a few verses. You know, the greatest honor which we can bestow upon God, a gift to God, is to give our hearts to Him, render our hearts to Him. For someone here tonight who would like to make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender your heart and life to Him, we want to give you that invitation tonight as we sing what number? Page 303 in the black book, 303.